Yeah, because when Duke had used me as a substitute for a couple of his players from time to time, and I did pretty well subbing for a couple of them. And then on one particular occasion, he was going to be out of a trumpet player very shortly from this particular time. So he would send all of his family around to recruit me. He sent his wife Evie around. She'd come and listen. And his publicity man, Joe somebody, and he'd send him around. So finally, they were all agreed to, yeah, we have to get him in the band. So finally, they came back again with the thought of all sorts of enticements to talk me into going in the band. And Joe, the publicity man, he wore one of those little cap, little hats like Nat King Cole used to wear with the stingy brim type hat. And I fell in love with that hat. So Joe said to me, he said, if you come with us, you might come by this hat. And the hat got me.
The hat got you. There's always some article of clothing with you. That is wonderful.
So one time Duke himself, after he'd gotten the reports from all his, scouts, he came and said, hey, sweetie, I'd like to meet you one day. We can talk about the band. So I said, okay. So I was living at the Southway Hotel, the South Side in Chicago. And we were working one place in Duke was at another. So he said, I'll meet you at the hotel, but when I come in the lobby, I'll call you so that I can come up to your room so we can't be seen talking around the lobby. So I said, okay.
Because of Mr. Basie?
I guess so.
Because, yes.
Yeah, so this will tell that whole story when I give you the punchline to this. So he said, he arrived, he called the room. I said, okay, get off on the sixth floor and I'll meet you at the elevator, and we walked to the room. So he gets on the elevator, and I went to the elevator and wait for him to get off. And just as he stepped off the elevator, the door in front of the elevator was Freddie Green's room. So he opened it and stepped out just as Duke stepped off. And he saw me standing there, and he saw Duke, and he said, uh-oh. And he went back in and slammed the door.
He knew what was coming, right?
Yeah. And that night on the gig, Freddie Green came to work, and he was this type of person. He would you'd be over there, and he's looking this way, but he's talking to you. Looking over there out of the corner of his eye, said, if you don't, you're a fool. That's all he said.
And that was it. And that cleared the way for you. And yeah. How did you make the transition from Mr. Basie's band to Duke Ellington's band?
Duke said, I got to figure out a way to get you out of there without disturbing my friend, because Bill is my friend, Basie's my friend. So what I'll do is you should take a leave of absence and just go home, tell Basie you're sick. And you were, well, I was kind of sick of the whole scene at that time anyhow, from traveling. And I didn't realize I was going to get into far more traveling than that. So he said, Basie, I think I'm a little bit ill now. I need to go home and rest, so I'll take a leave of absence. He said, okay, he said, but I want you to know one thing. He said, we love you here, and the minute you feel better and you want to come back, this chair is yours, which made me feel even worse.
I bet it did.
I told this big laugh. And I was sick, So I went home, and on Armistice Day, I guess this, which is coming up next month.
Yes, it is.
On November 11th, they came through St. Louis and they played the Kiel Auditorium. And they were with a group, traveling package called The Big Show of whatever year that was, 19... and they had practiced the show and played the show for so long till everybody knew it. They had no lights, no nothing. But the band knew all their parts. And they had Nat King Cole, Sarah Vaughan, Stump and Stumpy, Peg Leg Bass, and just a whole lot of people, So this is the beginning of the big shows, and which sort of was a ruination to the success of our business.
Yes.
And the perpetuation of the craft, because they were accustomed to getting too much for too little.
Yes.
Whereas in Europe, they take what they can get one at a time, And they were great supporters of our craft. So they came to town, they had one little lamp on the stand, in my music, you know. So I used to sit there and follow through it. So that's when I joined the band.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And what did, how did Mr. Basie react to that?
Pardon?
How did Mr. Basie react to that?
Oh, he loved it.
He loved it. Good.
But the reason why, years later, I went to the, what is the big theater on 57th Street, the big Carnegie Hall.
Yes.
To see him. And we used to call him Holy because Lester Young had nicknamed everything that was special. Holding his horn, his girlfriend, his wife, his whatever special that was his holy. So I went back to visit BC and sat at the top of the stairs. And at this time, he had just started becoming ill. And they had an elevator chair attached to the side of the thing, which went up like that. You know, he'd sit in the little chair, push a button, would take him up. It was a long flight of stairs because now they have elevators, you know. But when he arrived at the top of the steps, I said, Holy, I got something to tell you that I haven't told you for years, and I wanted to get it off my chest because it's bugging me. He said, yeah, what is that? I said, well, you remember when I left you at the band? He said, yeah. He said, I told you a lie, man. I told you I was sick, and Duke had made me an offer that I couldn't refuse, so I'm sorry that I had to lie to you. He said, why do you think I took my raise back? We were making $125 a week, and he had given me a $15 raise.
Oh, my goodness, $15.
And when I put my notice in, he took the raise back.
So he told you that's why he did it.
Yeah.
He knew.
So he knew it all the time.
He knew. Of course he knew.
Yeah.